Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our glorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, while I will admit to being just a little bit biased, I think that my young grandson Elijah has gotten to that stage in his life where he can be adorably cute. I say this because of some of the things that he does and some of the things that he says. For example, whether he is at home or walking across the parking lot down in Petaluma to come see me at church, little Elijah will strut with a very definite gait, swinging his arms like he wants everyone to know that he is in charge. Then there are some of the things that he says. For example, not long ago, Elijah learned what it feels like to be happy. Sometimes he'll spontaneously say, "Elijah, happy." Sometimes he'll come up to me and say, "Papa, happy?" And sometimes if you ask him, "Elijah, are you happy?" he gets a big smile on his little face and he says, "Happy." This is the time of the year when many people are indeed happy, whether it's the Christmas decorations that we see as we drive down the road, or the Christmas songs that we hear on the radio, whether it's the Christmas presents that we're looking forward to unwrapping, or the Christmas food that we're looking forward to enjoying, whether it's gathering together for a worship service with our brothers and sisters in Christ, or gathering together with our family and our friends, either at their home or ours. There are any number of things that can make us feel happy, especially at this time of the year. Well, we thank the good Lord for all of the things that do indeed make us feel happy. We realize that there are times when we don't feel happy. These are the times that remind us that happiness is a feeling. A feeling that can wax or wane, depend on the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Our goal this morning, my friends, is to recognize the difference between happiness and joy. While happiness is an emotion, joy is a condition. While happiness can be fleeting, joy is enduring. While happiness comes from the situation around us, joy, our joy, true joy, comes from our King who was born into this world as the child of Bethlehem. With that distinction in mind, let's study these words of the prophet Isaiah under the theme, "The King shall come. He is bringing perfect joy." Since I am the one who very often says that there's only three things you need to remember whenever studying a portion of the Bible, they are context, context, context. Let's look at the context in which we find these words of Isaiah. Through his servant Isaiah, the Lord God revealed that because of their sin, because of their unfaithfulness to him, the Lord was going to allow his chosen people to be conquered by the Babylonian Empire and carried away into exile. Life in captivity would not bring happy, would not be easy for God's people. Life in captivity would not provide a number of reasons to be happy. Life in captivity would remind God's people that the Lord, their God, the great I Am, is indeed the God of perfect justice. He is the God who punishes wickedness, rebellion, and sin. But through his servant Isaiah, the Lord, the great I Am, also reveals to his people that he is the God of amazing grace and unlimited forgiveness. It is this grace and this forgiveness that brings God's people joy, true joy, enduring joy, perfect joy. God the Holy Spirit led God's people to embrace the joy that only the Lord their God could give to them by having Isaiah place before them pictures. Pictures that applied in a unique way to a people who were going to be conquered and carried off into exile. As we look at these pictures, we need to make sure that we do not lose sight of the fact that this is the exact portion of scripture that Jesus used as his sermon text in the synagogue of his hometown of Nazareth. The exact portion of Scripture that Jesus applied to himself and said, "Today, this Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The fact that Jesus applied these words to himself gives us a proper and a complete understanding of the opening words of our text. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." In the Old Testament era, a person was anointed when they entered into the office of prophet, or priest, or king. Jesus was anointed into all three of those offices at the time of his baptism in the Jordan River. You may recall that at his baptism, we're told, at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. This is when Jesus of Nazareth became Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Anointed One, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Anointed One, was anointed to be our prophet, our priest, our king. He was anointed to be the one who brings us perfect joy. Joy, especially earthly joy, all too often eludes us, doesn't it? You can tell when you are not focused on true joy when at this time of the year you define joy as the holiday elation that comes over you before you hit the January blues. You can tell when you are not focused on true joy when your daily routine, when the people or the events around you leave you feeling frustrated with your life, or perhaps even doubtful when it comes to your faith. That was the situation of God's people in the days of Isaiah when they heard that they were going to be conquered by the Babylonians and carried off into exile, when their homes, their cities, and their beloved temple was destroyed, when their family and their friends were killed. They lost their joy. They lost their joy because they were too attached to the things of this world instead of focusing on remaining faithful to the Lord their God. This is a very good warning for us, my friends. If we base our joy on the temporary things of this world, the world that is passing away, the world that is destined to be destroyed by fire, then we should not be surprised if we feel our joy slipping through our fingers. True joy, lasting joy, perfect joy can only be found when we stay focused on the one who was anointed with the Holy Spirit to preach good news to the poor. Jesus, the Christ, Jesus, the Anointed One, brings true joy, perfect joy, into our hearts and into our lives. Jesus brings this true joy to us poor, mortal, sinful human beings through the good news of the message of the gospel, the good news that through faith in what Jesus has done for us, our sins are forgiven. Now that's joy. Jesus, the Christ, Jesus, the Anointed One, brings this kind of joy to us even when we are brokenhearted, when we are overwhelmed with grief and with pain because of the damage that our sins have caused. Damage to our relationship with our God, damage to our relationship with other people. Jesus heals those wounds with the balm of his holy, precious, and innocent blood. Jesus, the Christ, Jesus, the Anointed One, brings us this joy when he points us to the cross and proclaims to us what he has done to set us free, free from our captivity to sin, death, and the devil, what he has done to bring us the glorious freedom of the children of God. Jesus, the Christ, Jesus, the Anointed One, brings us this perfect joy as he proclaims to us the year of the Lord's favor. This is a reference to the Old Testament year of Jubilee. The Old Testament year of Jubilee was celebrated once every 50 years. During the year of Jubilee, any child of God who had to sell his property for whatever reason automatically got it back. During the year of Jubilee, God's children were told that they did not need to go and sow and reap and harvest because they were going to eat what the ground produced by itself, and the Lord promised that it would be enough. During the year of Jubilee, all slaves were set free and all debts were canceled. It was indeed a year of Jubilee, a year of great joy. It's not difficult for us to take the Old Testament year of Jubilee and apply it to ourselves as the New Testament children of God. As the one who has been anointed with the Holy Spirit, Jesus brings us the joy of knowing that through his perfect life, through his innocent suffering and death, through his victorious resurrection from the dead, the debt of our sin, a debt that we owed to the Almighty, that debt has been canceled. Through Jesus, we have been set free from our slavery, whether it's slavery to sin, slavery to death, and slavery to the devil himself. Closely connected to the year of Jubilee was the day of vengeance of our God. When viewed together, the year of Jubilee and the day of vengeance of our God easily reminds us of Judgment Day. On that day, Jesus will bring us the perfect joy of hearing him say to us, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." We will also hear him say to all of the unbelievers, to everyone who literally or figuratively spit in his face by rejecting what he has revealed to us in his holy word, to everyone who tried to damage or destroy his church here on this earth, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." While the eternal condemnation of everyone who rejects and ridicules our dear Lord and Savior will not be a reason for joy, we do and we will have the joy of knowing that our God is not only the God of perfect, unbounded grace, but our God is the God of perfect, consistent judgment. He says what he means, and he means what he says. As we look at verse 3 of our text, we see three beautiful pictures of contrast that God the Holy Spirit had the prophet Isaiah place before God's people. These three contrasting pictures help us to see, remember, and appreciate the perfect joy that our King brings to us. Look at what the Holy Spirit promises that our King will do for us. Our King will give us a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. These three pictures highlight different aspects of that perfect joy that our King brings to us. We have the joy of knowing that because our King endured the punishment of hell for us, we know now what's waiting for us on the other side of the grave. What's waiting for us is a crown of beauty. You may recall that in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, Jesus refers to this as the crown of life. We have the joy of knowing that with our King holding our hand as we journey through this world, even the things that cause us to mourn, such as sickness and pain, sadness and death, are soothed by the oil of his gladness. We have the joy of knowing that our King has dressed us in a robe, a garment of praise, the garment of praise that enables us to overcome the spirit of despair that permeates this dying and decaying world. All three of these pictures are like sparkling ornaments that serve to bring praise and glory to our King. The fact that all the praise and all the glory belongs to our King is brought out very clearly when Isaiah goes on to say concerning us, "They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." Think about what that means for us, my friends. Our joy is not based on anything that we do. Our joy is not based on anything in this world. Our joy is based on what our King has done for us. Our joy is based on His power and His glory, His righteousness and His splendor. That brings us to the closing verses of our text, verses 10 and 11. You know, one of the most joy-filled occasions that you and I attend here on this earth is a wedding. When it's our own wedding, that joy fills our hearts to overflowing. But even when we attend someone else's wedding, the joy that fills their heart, the joy that is evident in their voice and on their face, is both powerful and beautiful. Scripture describes the relationship that we have with our King like the relationship that exists between a groom and his bride. It is a beautiful relationship in which Jesus takes our hand and walks next to us while we journey through this world. It is a joyous relationship in which we celebrate the love and the unity that binds us to our King, the love and the unity that will exist into all of eternity. Well, I may be just a little bit biased. It is amazing to watch little Elijah strut across the parking lot down in Petaluma, swinging his arms like he's saying, "I may not be large, but I am certainly in charge." And while I may be a little bit biased, it's touching to see Elijah get a big smile on his little face and say, "Elijah, happy." The fact that this is not the case each and every day reminds us that happiness is based on how we feel at a particular moment in time. Praise God. Praise God that while our happiness can wax and wane from one day to the next, our King brings to us perfect joy. The perfect joy each and every day. That joy is based on what our King has done for us. That joy is based on what our King has transformed us to be, oaks of righteousness for the display of His splendor. May that joy that fills our heart lead us to say each and every day, "To God be the glory." Amen.